We've been looking, part of the thing that we've been doing here, and I liked what LaRue had said about that not too long ago, was that we're looking for the land of demonstration. We're looking for an authentic gospel. We're looking for the gospel of the word, something that is not just seen and heard in just every church, but there's a place where lives are changed and transformed. Lives become Christ-like. And in this pursuit, God has been awakening me here recently just to the new nature within me. And as he's been awakening me to the new nature within me, it's been changing the dynamic of how I perceive and do things. It's not changing the things that I do because I wasn't in sin, but it's changing the way that I think about it. It's the way that I react to it, the way that I perceive it. And that means, in other words, you can do something and you can do it because you know how to do it. Or you can do something because it becomes a passion within you. You can do something because out of the new nature, now it's not just a duty, but it's a joy. And there's something that God has been doing in this process. And what this did is begun to open the door in me for where he was taking me next. Because remember, I think two Sundays ago or something, I spoke about just the song where it says, we're taking the walls down. And I just began crying out, Lord, take the walls down. Take the walls down inside my heart. Take the walls down. He began taking the walls down. He began taking the walls down. Turn with me to 2 Timothy for just a moment. He began taking the walls down. He began changing the way that I can look and perceive, even in my own heart. Robert Coleman said this. He said this about revival. Revival is the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. When we understand that it's an awakening to our true nature and purpose, that begins to shift what we're looking for. Because now we're looking for who God made us to be. Who God created us to be as individuals. Who God created us to be as a church and as a community, as a city. God created us for something. Hallelujah. So we're going to call forth a new nature. 2 Timothy 1 and 13, it says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Guard through the Holy Spirit the treasure that has been entrusted to you. Guard through that who has been called alongside you. See, the Holy Spirit has been called alongside you. He's been called alongside you for a purpose. Why? To bring forth the inheritance within you. He's going to bring forth that inheritance within you. And one of the things that we have to do now is begin to understand what all treasures God has given us. And this is the house of much revelation. And there's been many revelations that have been given to us. And we see and understand things about the right hand of God. We understand about being able to go into his presence freely. We understand about being able to stand with him and be righteous before him because God called us there. We see these things and we walk with these things. But see, there's something even more basic than that. And I'm not looking to share revelation. I'm looking to write an impartation for you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever it is. That is, the most crucial thing for us to know is that we're loved by God. That we're loved by God. And we say this, and even as children, we sing it, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But do we know it? Do we know it? Do we know this love? This love that changes everything. This love that changes it and causes you to burn like a flame. It causes you to burn like a fire, like a human fireball. Do we know this love that causes us to quake, that causes our heart to go pity-pat and our knees to shake? Do we know this love that transforms us in such a way that there's only one response to him, and that's obedience? Do we know this love? Do we know, or will we allow ourselves to be loved this way? We will allow ourselves to be loved. Will we allow ourselves to receive what God so obviously has wanted to do and to give us? He took himself to a cross. He didn't have to. He did it for you. He made himself to be sin who was no sin so that you didn't have to bear that burden anymore. He loves you. He loves you, and he wants to change you with that love. He wants to change you with that love. And that's what he's doing within me, is he's changing me with this love. He's causing me to see a love that I've never seen before. He's causing me to respond to a love that I've never heard of before. He's wanting to make us alive with him by his love. His love is there, and it's here to change and transform. It's here to metamorphose us. It's here to make us incandescent in him. The thing that gets me is that how hard it's been for me to receive it. I'm the one that stands in the way. I don't mean to stand in the way, but I've stood in the way. He has that level of love for each and every one of us. And I find myself standing in the way. I find myself standing in the way because, see, I can't quite picture myself having that much value to him. I can't quite picture myself with all my insecurities and all my issues and all the other things, the baggage that somehow I'm still holding on to that I don't even want. All the little selfishnesses that we indulge ourselves with. I've let those things get in the way of receiving this love. I don't want those things anymore. I don't need those defense mechanisms anymore. They all failed me anyway. They never were any good. But they're just there because that's the only way that I'm known to respond, and because that was what I learned a long time ago. Well, God has given me an idea of this love that supersedes those things. He's given me an idea of a love that transcends those things, where I can have such a transparency before everyone else, and it doesn't matter because he's got me in his love. Because his love is transforming the way that I see and think and the way that I respond to what's around me. I no longer have to live in fear of my brokenness. I no longer have to live in fear of someone else's brokenness. You know, I didn't even realize that song that we played it today. Beautiful. Beautiful. We played it yesterday. And it says, I don't have to fear brokenness. I've heard that song hundreds of times. I never heard that line before. It's in there. I just didn't hear it. Why? Because I wasn't tuned to it. I wasn't tuned to what was separating me from the love. And God's here to deal with those things. He's here to shift us past those things. He's here to transform it. And that's one of the things that happened when Tina prayed for me, the breaker anointing that she's talking about. It's been affecting her, but it affected me because the Lord told me before she prayed, he said this. He said, she's going to take you into the future. And see, I was looking for a whole different thing than what happened. But as soon as she began praying for me, I began to see this river of God that was running past me. It was beautiful. It was awesome. And even more awesome was Christ was just on the other side of that river. And he said he was standing on the other side of that river. I knew I had to cross over to him. The only thing that was holding me back was me. I was still holding on to the old things. I was still holding on to some of the old Chuck that no one ever even wanted in the first place. And after a few minutes of just making a decision, see, it's just a decision that he's looking for. I realized in a moment that I crossed over. And when I crossed over, there was no walking. It wasn't even walking on the water. It was just from, I'm here and then I'm here. And as soon as I joined him, then we began to go up. Because as we come together, why? It's when Christ is lifted up, he draws all men to himself. And that's what we want to do, is to come into this love and a knowledge of this love that draws all men to him. Because as we come into this love, it will radiate out from everywhere that we are. Become burning candles. Torches. Light up the night. Because his love burns in you. When his love burns in you, the glory of the Lord is released. When his love burns in you and the glory of the Lord is released, then people are automatically drawn into this thing. Hallelujah. People think that the Ten Commandments is all there is to Christianity. And I don't mean to sound callous, but Ten Commandments is not even Christianity. I know some people are going to throw rocks, but it's okay. The Ten Commandments were given so we could know who God was. They were given so that we could begin to have something to govern us until something better came along. And because the law was a schoolmaster to teach us who Jesus is, but it's the love that changes us. Religion wants to give you a set of rules to make you feel better, but the love of God wants to make you better. He wants to change you in this love. He wants this love to stir you so that you stir a nation. It's not something that we can do just on our own. We have to allow Him to do it. That's the hard part. For the last couple of days, I've just been sitting there and allowing God to love me. And it's harder than you think. I just let Him sit there and let Him love me. And you know what? All of a sudden, I got this to-do list that He keeps wanting to come up. I don't need a to-do list. I want to just sit there and let God love me. Just sit there like a sponge and saturate in Him. Let Him marinate me. Let Him begin to come and flow over me like warm water. Thank God for warm water. My water heater was broke last weekend. Thank God for warm water. Guess what? Plumbing supply places aren't open on Saturday and Sunday. I was suffering for Jesus, baby. It was invigorating, but I jumped in that cold shower and I got in there. But I didn't stay there long. You're right, Chris. But you let Him wash over you. Let Him wash over you and fill you up in this place, this warmth of His love, the warmth and depth of who He is. Because see, in the warmth and depth of this love is a revealing of His glory. It's a revealing of His person. It's a revealing of who He is. It's a setting forth of the light of Christ. Because it's in that setting forth of the light of Christ that we can make a difference. This is not about us. It's about Him. As He allows that glory, His love to saturate us, it reveals the essence of who He is. When we're sitting in that place, see, there's a lie that we intrinsically believe in, that is, if I can change enough, He will love me. It's a lie. God's response to that lie is, if you'll let me love you, you'll change. We got to quit trying to bring something to Him. Quit trying to do something for Him. I can do a lot of things. But none of them matter when it comes to receiving God's love. None of them draw me closer to Him. None of them make me equipped or make me prepared or make me holy in any way. It's only God's love. It's His grace being revealed. That's the only thing. And to sit there and just know that there is nothing I can do in this moment but just receive. He's looking for us to receive who He is. Because if we'll receive who He is, He can begin to shine in a way that He's never been able to shine before. He wants to release something in you. See, there's a freedom that comes when you begin to understand this love that God has. There's a freedom that comes that can't come any other way. There's a freedom from fear. There's a freedom from the inhibitions of the past. There's a freedom from the expectations of others. There's a freedom of doing anything but what God says. There's a freedom from sin. Because He can reveal who He is. He can reveal His fullness and His wholeness to us. There's a freedom to walk in the wholeness. It doesn't matter. See, at this moment, at this second, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to share what God has in me because the only thing that matters is God's love. The only thing that matters is being obedient to this voice that's in Him. Be incandescent for Him. Let Him light your world. Let Him light your corner. It pays double dividends because you never know. Yesterday, I was just standing and I was still in this glory of this wonderful realm. And Anna stretches out her hands. She's going to pray for me. And I just, bam, I'm on the floor. I don't know what happened. I'm on the floor and 10 minutes later, I'm like, I hear things going on. But see, in that moment, you're so charged up when somebody else comes up and releases a charge, it's just boosh, it's just dynamite. It's dunamis being released because the love of God is there. It's just what Ephesians 3 said would happen. the dunamis of God would release the love so that we would be equipped, rooted and grounded in this love. We would be rooted and grounded in the place that brings forth the light of God, that brings forth the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 4. I do want to share that one. Try to prepare. And I was like, God, that's not enough scriptures. And he didn't need no scriptures. He just wants to talk. I'm okay with it. Whatever he wants to do. 1 John 4. I'm going to read 18. I'm going to talk about that and we'll go back to 16. It says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. That word fear is there. If you actually reduce it down to what it means, it says to cause to run away. So the one who's being caused to run away, that's not love. Why? Because God, when he's lifted up, it draws all men unto him. His love draws men to him. It never causes him to run away. So if there's something in you that's causing you to run away from him, to move away from him, to even back up or hesitate, then that's something that's not part of God's love. It didn't come from God. That only came from Satan trying to divide the two of you. Whatever it is, it's not your friend. We want to hang on to our lives as we know it. Christ wants to change your life as you know it. He wants to wreck your life as you know it. And it's okay. It's what we should look for. It's what we should expect. It's what we should be living for. Let's get wrecked in God. We learn to get wrecked a lot of other ways. Let's get wrecked in God. The right way. The only way. Verse 16 says, we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. Let that be our testimony. Let that be our testimony that we have come to know and love this love that God has for us. To believe it, to hold on to it, to live in it, to marinate in it, to receive it in its fullness. Because if we receive it in its fullness, in 1 week from now, 1 month from now, 1 year from now, not one of us will be the same. Not one of us will look the same, will be the same. We won't have the same responses. We're going to respond to one another in love. We'll do things out of a fullness and wholeness of heart, not out of a begrudging competition. God is love. One who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And it's by this abiding that love is perfected. He says, by this, love is perfected. That's the abiding in him. Love is perfected. So we have confidence on the day of judgment. Well, guess what? You're going to have confidence not just on the day of judgment, but you're going to have confidence on every day. Because when you walk without fear, you can have confidence no matter where you go. It doesn't matter who shows up on your doorstep. It doesn't matter who shows up at your bank account. It doesn't matter who shows up at the end of your bed. It doesn't matter where you're going. It says God is going to be there. God is with you. And his love is pouring out in you and pouring out through you. And it will change whatever comes against you. His love carries a peace with it that is beyond description. In February of 99, I don't know what morning, but in February of 99, I woke up at about 4:30, something like that, before the morning hour. And Satan was standing at the foot of my bed. And he said, I won't make a deal. And the peace of God poured over me. Poured over me in such an incredible way at that moment that there was no fear. That's not me. That wasn't me. I was still afraid of the dark as an adult. That's not funny. And he's standing there and I won't make a deal. And I just looked at him and said, no deal. And I rolled over and went to sleep. Because you're not of any consequence. If you want to come make a deal, obviously you don't have anything to offer. I already found a better deal. He wants to transform you with that kind of confidence, that kind of boldness, that kind of love, because that's the love that he has for you. That's the love that he wants you to walk in. That's the love that he wants you to bathe in. That's the love that he wants you to saturate yourself with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. blind Bartimaeus. You know the story. He begins to call out to Jesus. And the more the people tried to keep him from calling out, the more he began to call him out, Son of David! Son of David! He began to recognize his supremacy. He began to recognize his lordship. It's what he's looking for us to do, is to let this love in us recognize the lordship of Christ over us. And because as he began to recognize his Lord, he cried out, Son of David! And then Christ says, here, bring him here. What does he want? I want my sight. And he got it, didn't he? Because he wouldn't quit. Because he wouldn't quit. Because he persevered. Because something in him said, I've got to have what this Lord has. And I'm telling you today, we've got to have what the Lord has. We got to cry out, Son of David, I want your love. Son of David, I want your love. Lord Jesus, I want your love. I want to be transformed. I want to be incandescent with this love. I want my life to reflect something that is so different than the rest of the world that they have to be drawn to it because it's you, Jesus. This is what he's looking for. It transforms our world. It's transforming my world. It's transforming what I see and what I understand. Do you dare to be loved? Do you dare to be loved? Just be loved. You know, nothing's expected of you to be loved. You don't have to do anything to earn it. Just be loved. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about some vague, abstract thought. I'm talking about becoming a human torch. Let's draw into what God is doing. Let's draw into the breaker that God's making available. Let's draw into the place where we can become an igniter of those that are around us. Let's recognize that he called us, and he says in Romans 8 and 38, that he calls us that nothing can separate us from this love that is in God. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. It is in Christ Jesus. Let's pursue. Be focused. Pursue that love. Because in that love, it'll be the release of all the other things that we're looking for. In that love, it's the platform for all that God wants to do here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let him make you incandescent tonight.